Hello, and welcome to You Speak Sout. I am your host, Jamis Shields Spence, and I'm the Executive Director of Laytonville Healthy Start Community and Family Resource Center. In high school, I was a regular host on You Speak Sout, and I'm excited to be back on the airwaves today to let you know about a really cool program at Laytonville High School. In collaboration with the Laytonville Fire Department, Laytonville High School has a community classroom program where Laytonville High School students get to participate in fire department training. At the community classroom, they learned so much. I had the pleasure of interviewing Sue Carberry, who recently retired from being the chief of Laytonville Fire Department. I spoke with Wade Sizemore, who is the community classroom teacher for Laytonville Fire Department, and I got to hear from Sage Bickley, a senior at Laytonville High School, who is currently enrolled as a student participant at Laytonville Fire Department. I first got really excited to learn more about the Laytonville Fire Department's community classroom program when I saw videos and photos of student participants rappelling off the old bridge in Leggett. Teenagers were suiting up in climbing gear and learning what it would be like to rappel off a building to rescue someone. I mean, how cool is that? In the late 2000s, I worked at Laytonville High School to coordinate mentoring and prevention programs. When I would work in a classroom, there were students in there who had pagers from the Laytonville Fire Department. If there was a fire call during class, the students enrolled in the community classroom program would bolt up when the pager went off, and they would go to the fire department to respond to a call. That always impressed me with the responsibility that was given to these teens. Thinking about being in high school, I don't think I would have had the guts to take on such responsibility at a young age. Part of the work I did at Laytonville High School was to run the peer counseling program. Part of my job was pairing high school students up with elementary or middle school students who needed a mentor. The idea behind the peer counseling program is simple. Sometimes we just need someone to look up to and get some guidance from. I saw the impact that program had on countless kids and the peer counselors themselves. They had something to look forward to and a duty to be a role model and a leader. I think of the fire department's community classroom program in the same vein. In the interviews, you will hear that the fire department becomes a family for the student participants, and the fellow fire department volunteers are a tight-knit group. This sense of family or being a role model to the student participants got me thinking about building youth resiliency and how it is an important component of growing up. All teens experience difficult circumstances and stressful life events. The ability to bounce back from them and to learn and grow from them is called resilience. Resilience is a vital skill for navigating life's ups and downs, and building resiliency during the teen years can have positive impacts later on in their life. In fact, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Administration research, youth resilience suggests risk factors of poverty, adverse childhood experiences, trauma, including historical trauma, can be mitigated by the following experiences because they help build a youth's resilience. These experiences include a consistent relationship with at least one safe, caring, reliable, and competent adult who promotes high expectations and encourages self-improvement. Opportunities for constructive engagement in family, community, school, and other social institutions and productive decision-making. Adolescent voice, choice, and personal responsibility. The development of self-regulation, self-reflection, self-confidence, self-compassion, and character. The Laytonville Fire Department's Community Classroom Program perhaps unintentionally offers a place where youth can build resiliency. Student participants are given the opportunity to learn valuable skills and life-saving techniques. They learn how to care for firefighting equipment and get to ride along and actively participate in the department's fire calls. Sue Carberry was my health and PE teacher when I attended Laytonville Middle School. Carberry, as we affectionately refer to her, was a laid-back teacher who wasn't afraid of us awkward middle schoolers as we got squirmy in health class being taught all of the things they teach you about your body and health in middle school. Carberry was honest, treated us with respect, and I couldn't wait for my next class with her. Looking back on my teen years in Laytonville, it was teachers like Carberry who positively impacted my social-emotional development by offering a safe and supportive classroom, was an adult I could trust, and look up to. I know she has had the impact on hundreds, if not thousands, of Laytonville students during her teaching tenure here. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Chief Sue Carberry, who recently retired from the Laytonville Fire Department. Without further ado, Here is Carberry on her career in Laytonville as part of the schools, at the fire department, and the Laytonville Fire Department's community classroom program. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you land in Laytonville?
Oh, my goodness.
And what was your reason for moving here?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was living in Southern California. I was the athletic director at Cal State Dominguez Hills and decided that was crazy life down there, and it was time to move to the country, to the quiet country, and went to Ukiah and told them we were looking for a piece of property, and they sent us to either Covelo or Laytonville, and I looked at the road to Covelo, and I thought, I'm not going on that road. And so ended up in Laytonville, got a job first at Bechtel Grove Middle School in Willits, was there for 5 years, and then instead of commuting every day, stayed here at middle school and then the high school.
What year was that when you came to Laytonville?
1988.
Okay.
So I'm an old timer now.
Wow, all right. How did you get involved with the Laytonville Fire Department?
Well, I saw all these wonderful things happening in a very small community. Ambulances responding, fire trucks responding, relationships with the school program, and thought that was pretty neat. Went to Mendocino College, did my EMT, and then applied and was accepted at the fire department.
When was that?
2000.
Okay. How did the community classroom begin between Laytonville High School and the fire department?
Well, the community classroom name started probably in the late 90s, early 1990s, early 2000s, as part of an organizational thing at the high school, where it was community classroom, and basically it was a work-related thing. Some went to Gravier's Tire and Auto, some went to Mike's, you know, some went to the health center. They went to different places as a work-related. The high school program, I don't even know when it started. George Elliott, who was a chief, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, talks about leaving the high school then and going on calls, but it was very informal. I'm thinking probably in the mid-1980s with Kenny Elliott and Tony Howard, and that group was more of a formal program where they were actually going over there. In recent history, it's become more of a training program than a cleaning program.
Okay.
In the old days, they would go over and clean engines and sweep the floor and, you know, hope that maybe they got to go somewhere sometime. But now the high school students are well trained. They train every single day. They wash once in a while. And they actually go on calls with us. And in the daytime, that's, you know, super important because we don't have a whole lot of availability for people in the daytime.
And then the students actually go to the fire department in like a classroom setting,
yep,
right?
Yep. So, as opposed to going to Gravier's Tire and Auto or, you know, any of the other workplaces, they are going to the fire station, seventh period now, and spending that afternoon there. And then they are allowed through the support of the high school to leave to go on calls during the day as long as their teacher's okay with it.
Okay.
And they may ask, they may not. They may just fly out the door.
That's what I remember working in the high
school. Yes.
It was actually kind of cool to see.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they have the pagers, go off in the middle of the class, and then everyone sort of looks around, and then they dart out the door. Maybe they come back 5 minutes later. And
maybe they don't ever come back.
Yeah.
No, I love it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a, I don't know whether you're going to ask this later, that's what really makes our department different. Laytonville Fire Department is different in many ways, but that those are one of the top ways. Other departments have tried to duplicate it. They couldn't do it because there wasn't the support at the high school, and they wanted to do it after school. The kids are busy after school. It has to be part of the school day. And, you know, John Nielsen did it for many years. You know, now Wade's doing it. And it takes a commitment of the fire department saying, yes, this person on our watch is going to be in charge of that program and those kids during that time.
Right.
And that's what makes it special.
So are there no other programs like it in our county?
There are no other programs like it in our county that I'm aware of. Anderson Valley, Willits, Little Lake Fire, a couple have asked us for information. We give them all this information. I follow up and say, hey, what happened? And Anderson Valley says, well, we tried it after school. Nobody came. Well, yeah, really? And Willits, well, there's really nobody there during the day. You know, that on a, I mean, it's got to be consistent. It can't be, you know, today we're doing it, tomorrow we're not.
Right.
There really wasn't anybody there to do it.
Do the students go over to the fire department every day?
Every
day. Part of their class schedule?
Yep. Every day.
Okay. And about how many students through the years do you think have participated in the program?
Oh my gosh. you know, this year we have, you know, 9. There was one year where we had 10, 15. So, you know, on average, you know, over all those years, you get your calculator right out and figure it out. A lot of kids. And many, as you know, many have continued on the path with Cal Fire or with a local ambulance company. And some have not, and that's totally fine too. You know, we don't expect every single person to carry on. Mm-hmm. They do, at 18, they do become volunteers with us if that's what they want. And, it, you know, if they stay as a volunteer with us, that's awesome because they're well-trained, they're better trained than many of our volunteers.
Right.
You don't know that we need to repeat that, yeah. But we just did. But, you know, they're really well-trained.
Okay. What are some of the challenges in running the fire department community classroom program?
There really aren't a whole lot of challenges. You know, the high school administration and the district, you know, through Joni are super supportive, and that's huge. There is money through continuing education, you know, so finances aren't a problem. And then the fire department picks up the rest in terms of, you know, clothes that they need to wear and that kind of thing. As long as we have someone like a John or like a Wade that's willing to commit every single day to that program, you know, we're good.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen at some point, that will be the challenge.
Yeah, that's a huge commitment.
That's a huge commitment.
What are some successes in the community classroom program?
Well, the successes are that the, you know, the kids that want to come out with the skills and the connections, you know, because it's political as well. So they go on a fire, they go with the Cal Fire people, they're on the same fire. The Cal Fire people say, oh, that guy's doing or that gal's doing a really good job. And they make that connection and they end up getting hired. So if that's what they want, we can get them into Cal Fire.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so they have a career. You know, the Kennys and the Tonys of the world, Daniel Zumkeller, Josh Andrews. I mean, the list goes on that made a career. And it started right across the street.
When they were students?
When they were students,
wow.
Yep.
Any stories or unexpected surprises you would want to share about what it's been like teaching students EMT and firefighting skills?
Well, I think, you know, in the big picture, I can't think of any specific stories, but in the big picture, even if they don't go into a career, we know that we've trained generations of kids to do life-saving techniques, to do CPR, to do choking, to do basic first aid. You know, we never know when you're going to need it. And no matter what they do in their life, they're going to come across somebody who's laying on the floor who may need their help, and they know how to help. And that's really the big picture.
Yeah. Are there any calls that students aren't allowed to go on?
Yeah. So we on wildfires, we try to not have them be in the first engine out.
Okay.
So that they're the, you know, the initial attack. That doesn't always happen because sometimes it's just, you know, who's ever on duty that day and the high school students. But on paper, that's what we try to stick to. Any suicidal, any mental illness, you know, drug related, those kind of calls, we try to keep them back. We try to protect them from that. Any 1144s, which are dead bodies, we try to keep them out of that. But we might be in the back of an ambulance with a normal patient, normal meaning we don't think they're going to die, and between here and Willits, they code, and suddenly our high school student is doing CPR in the back of the ambulance. You know, we can't protect them forever.
Wow, that's incredible. Tell us about how the fire department's community classroom program has helped former student participants. We know some went on to careers in the field, and give us some success stories of some of those people.
Well, Tony Howard, who was battalion chief here for many, many years, called Laytonville Fire the training grounds for Cal Fire. And so right now, Brandon Gunn, who was a Laytonville High School graduate, is second in command at Howard Forest, is second in command in the Mendocino unit. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Sean Davis is in Ukiah as a captain. Scott Davis is at Howard Forest as a training officer. I mean, there's just that top group of people have gone on to Cal Fire that started with us.
And they have careers.
And they have careers that, like Kenny and Tony, 20 years later, they can retire on a good retirement.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful to college, but they didn't have to have a degree. You know, they needed some classes. They needed to continue to take fire classes, but they didn't have to have a degree to move on. Just lots of training.
Okay. Anything else you'd want to share about the program or your experience in running the community classroom program?
No, I think it's just, you know, it's a solid program. It just needs a lot of support of the different pieces of the district, you know, of the high school, of the fire department. And if one of those pieces fails, then, you know, we need to regroup and figure out what to do.
Talk about your career at the Laytonville Fire Department, how you came in through the ranks.
Well, it wasn't certainly what I planned to do. I just wanted to run around in a little ambulance and save lives and occasionally put out fires and, you know, not go in burning buildings and, you know, try to be smart about the whole thing. Obviously, I started it late in life. You know, we're talking about kids that started it when they were 17, 18, 19 years old. I won't tell you how old I was at the time, but I should have known better. But started as a firefighter, EMT, ambulance driver, and then became a captain, and then an assistant chief under Jim Little. And then when Jim retired, I was promoted to chief and did that for 5 years. And have now retired, just kind of sitting in my chair at home listening to the calls going, right on, guys, right on. You're doing a great job. And then get called in to say, what the heck is this?
Uh-huh.
So it's a huge transition.
Nice. I'm just curious, as we're moving into fire season, if you have any words of advice, things us common folks should do to prepare, or ways we can help out our local fire department.
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, we say this every year. Every year we kind of smile and say, it's going to be the worst fire season ever. Well, here we go.
Yeah.
We have no water. We're drier than usual. It's almost the end of March. You know, if history is real, we're running out of time to get the rain that we need. Things are growing. People are nuts. And so the advice I always give is, you know, just be proactive. If you see it, smell it, call. You never know what it is, where it's coming from. And the key to fires in our local area, and we've been able to do this with the support of the community, is to keep them small.
Yeah.
Fires are going to happen.
Yeah.
We know that. They're going to happen going up and down the highway. They're going to happen out in the middle of nowhere. They're going to happen. But if people report it soon, we get there soon, we get it out soon, they don't become big.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
Yeah.
And we've been so lucky the last few years. Our community is just... You know, they sort of drive me crazy in some ways because they're calling on every single little puff of something. But that's what keeps them small. So
right.
We need to keep calling on the small puffs.
We've worked together on disaster preparedness in the community. And I'm curious if you'd want to talk about that or any words of advice for just preparing for disaster in general.
You know, Cal Fire puts out lots of brochures and we have them available at the fire station on I think it's called Ready, Set, Go. You know, and it's that whole progression of knowing that, you know, chances are we're going to have to evacuate and you're not going to have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so you need to be active ahead of time, you know, getting information together, getting your papers together that you can't afford to lose, you know, getting the food ready, the water ready, the pet supplies ready, having a plan, you know, what you're going to take when you need to go, what you're going to take if you got to go in 5 minutes, what you're going to take when you got to go in 30 minutes. You know, but just know that it could happen and you can't do it at the last minute.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready to go. You know, and Harwood Hall, of course, becomes our evacuation center, you know, which is a whole other, you know, scenario. But we haven't had to use it a whole lot and hopefully that will continue.
Yeah.
You know, they always say that you should be prepared to be isolated for 72 hours, you know, so to have enough food, enough water, whatever you take, underwear for 72 hours. Obviously, living in Laytonville, you know, 72 hours is nothing. It could be a lot longer than that.
Yeah, I was thinking about this morning about when we had that snowstorm. Was it last year?
Yeah.
All the trees came down, the power lines came down, and we were out of power for 5 days at least in town.
And so we were isolated that night. There was an ambulance, a MedStar ambulance, that was stuck on the two lanes on the way to the hospital coming out of Covelo. They spent the night on the side of the road.
Wow.
Nobody could get to them because they were blocked in the back and blocked in the front. They had a patient, elderly female with a fractured hip. You know, they gave her all the pain meds they had. And the next morning they were able to cut through the trees to get them out. We were ready to set up a little hospital at the fire station because we had patients that needed to go to the hospital and couldn't. So we kept going out to their houses to give them breathing treatments or whatever, changing their oxygen bottles or whatever they needed, because we couldn't get to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, that was a freak thing.
Yeah.
And that wasn't, had nothing to do with a fire.
Yeah. It was in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
I was curious about the skills that the students develop. You know, can you walk us through what kind of skills that they learn from just being in the classroom to in the field?
Yeah, so basically there are two main pathways. One is the medical, so they're technically first responders.
Okay.
So that's more than basic first aid, but less than EMTs.
Okay.
So they can certainly assist the paramedic, you know, in many things he or she does. But basically, they have first responder skills. They can participate in the back of the ambulance. They can C-spine a patient in the middle of the highway. They can bandage. They can put on oxygen, that kind of thing. And then they're trained as firefighter ones. So they can, you know, they can take a hose and know how to properly use it, the spray techniques, the spray patterns. They know how to use all the tools that we use for extrication of a patient or a person out of a vehicle. They know, we don't allow them to go in burning buildings, but they know how to put on an SCBA, a self-contained breathing apparatus, you know, and how to breathe properly. So they basically have all first responder medical and all firefighter one skills.
Wow. And they learn that within a year, within the school year?
Yes, they get better at it, but okay. They get the basics. And then those that want to, we send to the Mendocino County Fire Chiefs Academy.
Okay.
And this year, Ava Lomax went as a high school student along with some of our volunteers, and they give up every weekend between January and March, and they go to different departments and just build on those skills.
Wow.
And we always remind them to be, you know, patient and nice when they go, because they have more skills going in, you know, than anybody else that's there.
Interesting. Okay. I sort of wanted to, and we can choose to get into this or not, but I was thinking just about the different youth who have participated in your program over the years. And I'm thinking of when I worked in the high school and you were there, we had we had special kids that needed extra attention, or they came from home lives that were just awful. They were exposed to trauma,
mm-hmm.
you know, drug addiction, violence, whatever mm-hmm. it was. Can you talk about just the working with students who come from such maybe heavy backgrounds, and what is that like? What potential do we see in them? Maybe do some of the students who come from these kind of tough situations get involved with the work that you do at the fire department, or are they attracted to it? Or
yeah, and without going into names, yeah. there are certainly those students, because we are a small town and know more than we need to know or should know.
Yeah.
You know, we know that they have very fragile, I don't know what the right word is, but they're fragile.
Yes.
And we never know what on a call is going to set them off.
Right.
You know, so we try to be sensitive. It's good for them.
Yes.
You know, because some of them learn from the badness that they've experienced, and they want to get rid of that badness, and they don't want it to be in their lives or anybody else's life. So they move forward and make their life better and other people's lives better.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it triggers things that they don't want to be a part of. You know, they don't want to see another person, you know, taken down by drugs or by alcohol or by driving crazy.
Yeah.
And they think they want to, but they can't.
Yeah.
And so we just try to be sensitive and not put them in a position that is going to trigger something, but we can't always avoid it.
Yeah.
So in many cases, you're right. In many cases, I think it's helped them move through that time period and make their life better and be happy because they're making other lives better.
I imagine that having that opportunity to spend the time in the fire department and to be around healthy adults like you and the others who are a part of the training program and just be exposed to something mm-hmm. so positive, just I imagine it's changed some lives.
I'm sure it has, and it makes mm-hmm. them special. I mean, they are special. They're a unique breed, you know, in a very unique department, and I hope they feel that. I hope they felt that. Because they are treated right. They are treated like a regular volunteer. They go to business meetings, they go to trainings, you know, and they develop that family of support. And I think it, in many cases, you're right, it does help them through that time period.
Is there, you talked about it earlier, about there's certain situations that the students can't go into that are maybe more traumatic or just not maybe appropriate
right.
for their age. What types of training do you receive as first responders for having to deal with those tragedies and those traumas, and just because you guys see it all?
Well, you know, through those that are EMTs, and not everyone is an EMT, of course, but those that are EMTs, you know, there's a chapter in the book or two chapters that talk about, you know, you taking care of yourself, managing your own stress. I mean, those that go in to be paramedics, you know, they have a very short career, historically.
Right.
Just because of what they're exposed to, and at some point they can't manage it anymore and they have to walk away from it. The regular volunteers, you know, we're not proactive. When there's a really bad call, there's a program that we have people come in and help us through, you know, the people that were on the call help us through the what people need to talk about, how to make it, you know, be okay in their own heads. But that's after the call, not before the call. So, you know, we don't really do a lot until it's happened.
Right.
And then we all scramble going, oh, dear. Because we don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
We can't predict.
It's interesting. You have led so many CPR and basic first aid classes for, like, our summer program that we do at Healthy Start. And you teach youth how to do CPR and other just basic life-saving skills, and I'm always thinking, if I were put in that position, could I actually pull it off? And I think that there's like a separation between just like common people, like knowing the skills, and then people like you who are first responders and you have grit, like you have the ability to just walk in a situation and assess what's going on and respond, where the rest of us would maybe just stand there going, I don't know what to do. Can you talk about how you gain those skills or what that's like?
Well, and you won't know whether you can do it or not until you're faced doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, of all the students I've taught, I don't, other than those that went into careers on an ambulance, I don't know that there are students out there that actually were faced with that.
Uh-huh.
But that's why we teach you can always do something.
Right.
You can be the person that goes to the phone and calls 911 and tells why this, you know, what's going on with this person.
Yeah.
You can be the person that goes out the door and waits for the ambulance to wave them in.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you're going to react, who knows? It'll depend on who it is, right? Is it someone you know? Is it someone you don't know? Where it is, in the middle of Geiger's, you know, middle of the parking lot in the highway, you know, you don't know how you're going to react. But I know that the people, I know that you know the skills. You know, CPR is so simple now. I mean, it's not very successful, but it's so simple. You don't have to breathe on them anymore. Yeah. Just do compressions.
Yeah.
You know, once you, you know, undress them, which is, you know, the whole other trauma. But nonetheless, you know, they need help, and who knows how anyone's going to react, but somebody will react.
Yeah. It's just interesting to think of like a 16 or 17 year old, like getting faced with like a situation where they would be the ones who were helping save someone's life. I mean, it's such a huge responsibility, but it's also a really cool opportunity to just prove that you have taken the skills that you've been taught and been able to pull it off. It's what an incredible opportunity.
And they're probably more likely to do it than us older folks.
Right,
They're just going to jump in and do it. But in the news, you hear all the time where young kids, you know, 7, 8 years old, are doing life-saving techniques that they saw on TV or they saw in a classroom. You know, who knew?
Yeah, yeah.
They could do it.
Any final thoughts about anything we've talked about or anything you want to add about the community classroom program in Laytonville? Or
well, I think I just want to take the word community and make it even bigger into the support and appreciation of the support that we have from our local community. You know, the other unique thing about Laytonville Fire is we're the only volunteer fire department in the county that runs an ALS, Advanced Life Support Ambulance, that has a 24/7 paramedic on duty. We're the only ones doing it. The only ALS ambulance that takes a huge commitment from our department, financial commitment, because ambulances lose money. Nobody makes money in the ambulance business. Even the private companies don't make money. And a huge support from the community. And I think it's the ambulance that people see the most and appreciate the most. And the fact that Laytonville Fire Department can still continue to run an advanced life support ambulance plus a second ambulance, a BLS ambulance, basic life support, is incredible. And it's all done on the back of volunteers.
Wow.
You know, the paramedics are paid, obviously. But the rest of us, you know, it's all volunteers that are making that ambulance roll. Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
How large is the district that you serve for Laytonville Fire?
It's ridiculous. It's we go all the way, technically, we go all the way to the South Leggett off-ramp.
Okay.
We go halfway to Westport. We go to that, where all the graffiti is on the road, whatever that's called, Top of the World or something. We go halfway to Covelo, and we go to Longvale.
Wow.
That's technically. That's on paper.
Okay.
But there are only three or four ambulances in Ukiah, in Redwood Valley, at any given time. And if they're busy, and we're the closest ALS ambulance, we're going all the way to Piercy, we're going all the way to the coast, we're going to downtown Covelo, and we're going to Willits. So it really depends on what day it is and where the ambulances are. We can go to as far as all of those places.
Wow.
All on the back of volunteers.
Wow. That's incredible. 24/7.
24/7. Yep. Yeah.
I'm curious how Laytonville gets pulled into, like, when there is a wildfire. I know that the department has sent volunteers to fight wildfires all throughout the state. How does that work?
Well, there's the initial attack. You know, there's a fire in Covelo, great place, always fires in Covelo. You know, so initial attack, that's where we go. They need more engines, we send an engine. But hopefully not for long, because when we're gone, you know, we have a backup engine. We have several backup engines and backup crews, but, you know, our main crew, our main engine are gone. And they might be there a day, you know, then short term. But then there's the strike teams where there's a huge fire in Mendocino National Forest or, you know, Santa Rosa, or we've gone to L.A. many times over the past where they put together a strike team. And that's five engines from five departments and a strike team leader who go and can be gone, you know, 14 days. The commitment is 14 days, but they're, you know, could be a long way away. So there's the two. There's the initial attack, local fire support, and then there's the one where you're gone as part of a strike team forever.
Wow, that's incredible. And that's all volunteer led? Or
yeah, they get paid.
Reimbursed for
they get, yeah, the local, we only get reimbursed if we're there for more than 12 hours. But the strike teams get paid and get paid well, as they should.
Okay.
And they're on 24 on, 24 off. I mean, they work.
It's a long day. Long, hard day. Anything else you want to share or talk about?
Nope. It's been a good program, and I hope it will continue.
Yeah, very good.
I spoke with Wade Sizemore of the Laytonville Fire Department, who by happenstance, or perhaps serendipitously, became the teacher for the Laytonville Fire Department's community classroom this year. Wade was one of the students at Laytonville High School I witnessed bolting out of the classroom on his way to a fire call when his pager went off. In Wade's journey of being enrolled as a student participant and now teaching the class, he's truly come full circle. It often is the secret hope of educators or those who lead youth programs that they want to inspire the youth to go into the field they are teaching about. It's how the next generation is brought up in the hopes that they will come back to the community that once inspired them. At least that's the idea. Wade undoubtedly is making that kind of impact on the student participants at the Laytonville Fire Department. In fact, it's evident when I see him after hours running training sessions with the students around town. The impact he is making with the Laytonville students is clear, and no doubt many of these students will go on into a career in firefighting or paramedics. Here is Captain Wade Sizemore.
Wade is going to tell us about the opportunities that high school students have, or right out of high school, to be a part of CAL FIRE and how that process works.
So one of the main things is, as you go through the fire service in general, Laytonville sends you to what's called the Mendocino County Fire Chiefs Academy, where every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you would take our gear and either drive down to the Willits Fire Station, the Ukiah Fire Station, Hopland, it's really every station in the county for the fire service. And they would teach you a specific set of skills, and it could either be their way with new technology, old technology. It's called Death by PowerPoint too, because you have to watch all the videos on how to do it before you get to do it. So I did that when I was a junior in high school, playing all three sports. So I had a lot of my play, and I maintained, I think I had a 4.0 at that point in time, too. When I was a senior, I attended what's called the California Cal Fire Basic Fire Academy. And what that was, it was also Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the time. And I would leave, put on a fire department uniform, go down, and I was outfitted with all the Cal Fire gear. And as you go through that, you're required to maintain an 80% in the class for California standardized. Wow. If you want to take the academy and you fail two tests below 80%, then you get dropped. So I was able to do that. I passed the academy. I graduated in 2015. I immediately applied for Cal Fire, was given an oral interview. I always wear a suit and tie if you go to an interview. Went down, sat down with the captain that ended up hiring me. They ask you a bunch of questions on your experiences already in the fire service, or they give you situations. They'd say, what would you do in the situation? You have fire coming at you, and you'd have to think on your feet on what would happen.
Oh, okay.
After that, that's when I was hired, and I went and worked at a Fort Bragg station for 4 years as just a normal firefighter one.
Okay. Any future plans for you that you'd want to talk about, or the career opportunities that this has all opened up for you?
So one of the big things in public safety is we get a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends that work for the sheriff's office and that work for CHP. For myself, I am not necessarily going to leave the fire service, but I am looking to apply or have applied, and I'm in backgrounds with the Mason County Sheriff's Office. One of my main goals there is to be a road deputy. I know that I can help change a lot of lives, and I have changed a lot of lives with the fire service, but I know that the sheriff's office will give me a broader area to be able to go out and help people.
Yeah. Wow, what an opportunity. What I like about the path is that students can be exposed to so many different things within the fire department. So, you know, fighting fires, EMT work, first aid response. So they gather just so many skills just to have in general. So maybe they don't go out and get a career in fire service or become an EMT or go on, you know, other law enforcement opportunities. Like I know some go into like fish and game and things like that.
Right.
Do you feel like there's a certain type of person? I try to tease this out of Carberry. If there's a certain type of person that maybe is attracted to that work or saving lives or just gaining these skills. I was telling her when I've done so many CPR and basic first aid classes with her over the years. And even though I have the knowledge in my head about how to do chest compressions and, you know, what to do for basic first aid, I feel like if I were to be put in that situation, I might not be able to kind of get out of like the fear of actually responding. Can you talk about what that takes and if it's like a certain skill set you have or what you possess to sort of go towards that line of work?
For me, it's just the wanting to be able to help the people in need. Because if somebody calls us, you call 911, it's not to order a pizza. It's because you are having the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
So for me to be able to respond and to be able to work for the fire service and go help you as best I can, it's me knowing that I've done everything that I can do and I'm not just sitting on the sidelines.
Right.
Really, it's just the family aspect of it too draws in a lot of people, especially if they grow up and they don't have much of a home life.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they come to the fire service, you know, we're always there for them. We always hang out, go have food together. And then going straight into Cal Fire, it's the same thing. You know, you get to build such good friendships with all your coworkers because you have to stay there 3 days out of the week.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, we're just one big family. And that goes for us with the law enforcement. We're fortunate to have a paramedic and an ambulance, but it's everywhere you go, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the things is the fire service is just one big family. Everywhere you go, it doesn't matter if I'm from Laytonville and somebody's from San Francisco Fire, we would treat each other with the same amount of respect. A part of it is, like, we share a lot of the same values. It's, we have the respect for other people. We know that what we're capable of. And I think a big part of it is the traumatic experiences that the fire department can bring along. Of the things that you would see, that's one of the big things, too, is, like, you know that person has gone through it. Everybody does it, goes through it a little bit different. And I've seen that a crazy amount through the years of people. But it's just all about having a good mindset in life. That's one of the biggest things, is being able to take care of yourself and being physically fit, having a good mindset, and just wanting to go out and help everybody.
I imagine, too, that through just the exposure that you all get to so many situations, ranging from maybe like a mental health crisis to like a drug overdose to a horrible car accident. I mean, you all have seen it. You've seen it all.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, how does maybe like the Laytonville Community Classroom prepare the students for those potential traumatic events they're going to encounter? Or is there a certain training that you go through to just kind of maybe get ready for that? Or do you have a way to deal with it after the fact? What's the process for having to face these like horrible situations after horrible situations?
So that's a great question. And it all comes down into having, you know, a good mindset, being healthy with yourself and being fit, or having some sort of hobby is what I tell people mostly too. So there is no way to train for that. It's, if you see something traumatic, I've seen people see one thing and that is it for them.
They're done.
There's people that have been in the fire service for, it seems like 100 years, and they've seen it all, and it doesn't faze them. I've seen the in-between. So the only way that we can really help these kids that are coming up with what potentially that they're going to see in the fire service is we would tell stories, and we would sit down and they can ask us questions, but you know, it's like we're not allowed to say names or the ages or the gender of the person. So it's, you know, if I went to a call, I'd be like, this is what happened with this person, this is what I saw, without giving out any, you know, HIPAA violation information.
Well, anything else?
Yeah, it just goes back into the things that we do see. You know, at first, when someone's scared because you see a wreck, and the biggest thing to do is to go up immediately and ask somebody if they need help. You want to figure out if this person's bleeding, can my shirt help them? Don't stand in the background and cry or scream or distract other people. If you don't want to go help with the incident, you just go sit in your car, call 911. And afterwards, if you see something that bothers you, don't hold it into yourself. You need to let other people know. You can always go to therapy. Do not drink alcohol as a way to cover up something. Yeah. Do not take drugs as a way to cover up something. Yeah. Because the people that do it, their careers in the fire service and law enforcement end up completely falling apart, because that's something that's not mentally healthy for you at all.
Yeah. And I can imagine that it's just a way for humans to deal with their problems is turning to substances, and just having to be really careful when you're put in that, like you're in the line of duty and you just have to be in your right mind to be able to respond.
And that's the one bad thing about it, is that alcohol is so easy to buy. Like, yeah. You're 21, yeah. You see something, you're like, I can just go to the store and get some alcohol and drink it. But that's just an unhealthy mindset. I've watched people see something traumatic and start shaking until they light up a cigarette.
Wow.
But it's like I say, if you have a hobby, I like to go to the gym and work out, or if you want to build model airplanes, or if you like to go hiking with your dog or something like that. Yeah. That's something healthy that I would choose to do. And I know that Healthy Start, well, you got, if they went to you guys, you would be able to help them with programs, or you'd be able to talk to them about what they can do.
Yeah.
Other than substance abuse.
Exactly, yeah. And there's also, I'm really appreciating you bringing this up, Wade, because there are so many resources for people that are available that people might not realize. You know, the even though we're kind of an isolated town and an isolated county, and it often feels like there's not a lot of services, there actually are. You know, like in the Laytonville community, we have the health center that offers, you know, drug and alcohol counseling, mental health counseling. Healthy Start can refer people to counseling in the community. Through the schools, there's just so many opportunities. But I love what you're saying about just keeping like a hobby or something that keeps you healthy and focused on something positive. I think that, especially coming out of COVID, that's really important for people.
Especially, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
No, that's it.
Cool. Thank you.
Sage Bickley is an 18-year-old senior at Laytonville High School, and I have had the pleasure of knowing him since he was a little kid. At a young age, Sage got involved with the Boy Scouts and began working his way to Eagle Scouts. According to Wikipedia, Eagle Scout is the highest achievement or rank attainable in the program of the Boy Scouts of America. Since its inception in 1911, only 4% of Scouts have earned this rank after a lengthy review process. The Eagle Scout rank has been earned by over 2.5 million youth. Requirements include earning at least 21 merit badges. The Eagle Scout must demonstrate Scout spirit, an ideal attitude based on the Scout oath and law, service, and leadership. This includes an extensive service project that the Scout plans, organizes, leads, and manages. Sage joined the Laytonville Fire Department's Community Classroom Program, and I saw the sparkle in his eyes when he described his involvement with the program. It is clear that the program has had an impact on him and his future plans. Here is Laytonville High School senior and recently awarded Eagle Scout, Sage Bickley.
Well, my name's Sage. I live in Laytonville, California, and I go to the Laytonville High School, and I'm 18 years old now.
You're a senior?
Yep, I'm a senior, yep.
So you graduate this year?
Yeah, I did, yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have recently become an Eagle Scout, and I am obviously now doing the Laytonville Fire Department, which I'm very much enjoying.
How long have you been a part of the Laytonville Fire Department Community Classroom Program?
In the beginning of this school year, so I would probably say we're a little more than halfway through it, so like 8 months or something. I could totally be wrong about that, but
how did you get involved with the Laytonville Fire Department's Community Classroom?
Our school, our counselor knew I was very interested in doing like helping our community and trying to get that, like, you know, that community type jobs I really like the medic classes and the fire hall class, and they're the same thing because
okay.
I teach both.
Okay.
And I've also recently done other classes for the fire hall, so they knew I would just fit in perfect, and so they, you know, signed me up to do that.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I did Community Emergency Response Team, I think it is, and it's like a Laytonville, it's like a community thing where the actual community members can go out and like try to help, you know, put out that fire or help somebody like that.
It's like where you learn emergency response skills as just a normal citizen.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. What made you want to try out the class? You talked a little bit about it, but what was appealing about the class to you?
It makes me feel very happy knowing I am helping other people when, you know, it could be with their house is on fire or with a medical emergency. It makes me feel very satisfied myself and knowing I'm helping these people and doing good.
Nice. What do you like most about the Laytonville Fire Department's community classroom?
Well, our teacher, Wade, is a very cool person. He's very nice to get along with. He's a very cool teacher. And they also, it's very, very informational. About halfway through the year, we had everything locked in. Like, our teacher was so good. He was able to teach us all these things, and it really made it stick in our brain. And it's also, you know, we're all kind of friends in our class, which makes it a lot nicer.
Tell us about what you learn is part of the classroom.
What I've learned is I've gone through a lot, but it's like I was talking about, it's a lot of like the fire stuff. It was like an example, we would, you know, we learned how to, from putting everything away correctly into a fire truck to actually being able to deploy this equipment and use it for ourselves and to, you know, go help other people with this equipment, which has been very, you know, it's very informational. It's very nice.
What are the biggest challenges of participating in the fire department's classroom program?
You know, probably just the fact that it is, you know, a bunch of high schoolers, and sometimes people will disagree with each other, and, you know, sometimes people will get a little bit of tussle in. But honestly, there hasn't been that many challenges. Like I said, it's just, we have a really cool teacher, and it's been really, like, easy for us to learn and fun, you know?
What do you do as part of the classroom experience, and do you get to go on fire calls?
Yes, so for our classroom experience right now, we are, it's kind of funny, we are kind of having troubles to figure out what we actually do throughout the day now, is because we're so far into it and we've learned so much.
Okay.
But for the most part, we will, now we're just going over a lot of the stuff that really makes sure it sticks in our brain.
Okay.
And yes, I do go on fire calls now and medical calls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about what that's like.
It's very cool. There's some, I've only gone on a few. I remember recently going on one and it was kind of disturbing, which is, you know, it's kind of weird for people just getting into that, having to see people certain ways, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, but it has honestly been a really nice learning experience.
Do you think that you will pursue a career in fire or EMT services?
Yeah, of course. It's going to stick with me, you know, probably to the rest of my life. I really love this room. I think I'm really attached to it and, you know, I'm very connected to doing this and helping, you know, knowing I'm helping other people.
So what's your plan for after you graduate from high school? Do you know yet?
Yeah, my plan is I'm probably going to go up to the Tahoe area and join the California Conservation Corps,
nice.
Which they have programs for to help people with, like, wildland fires,
yeah.
And that's what I'm going to be specializing in.
It's a great program. I know people who've been a part of it, and they loved it.
Yeah. My brother was in it, so that's where
yeah,
I kind of got the motivation to
cool.
do it.
Cool. Right on. Okay, so I want to know about your Eagle Scout accomplishments. How long have you been involved in that program?
I think for about 8 years.
Since fourth grade.
Since fourth grade, I have been, you know, I've been working so hard to do it. Literally, it's gone from me going out to camps, and it's kind of crazy when you go out to these camps. They would actually have like classrooms, and you would have to, you know, I think I was like 14 or something. I'd be going to these camps, and they would like what's it going to explain it? It's like if you want to learn, you have to show up and you have to put in all the work, and you yourself are the one that's actually pushing yourself to complete this, you know? And it's taught me amazing things too with like the EMT stuff. I remember getting lifeguard training, and it also went to stuff, you know, like I would figure out how to live out in the woods if I got stranded out there for a really long time, you know?
Survival skills.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like one time we actually had this it's a merit badge I got called Learn to Survival, and they just put us out overnight in the woods, and we had to make our own shelter and all that stuff.
How old were you?
I say like 14, 15.
Oh, wow.
Around, yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah. It's very nice.
Anything else you want to mention about either the fire department program or the Eagle Scouts, or mention anything you didn't get a chance to say?
Yeah, so especially with the Eagle Scout, it's very stereotyped. People are really like making fun
mm-hmm.
of the Scouts when people should really go out, because it's a really good learning experience.
Okay.
And don't really listen to the haters that don't know what they're talking about, you know, because, like, all I've learned is just pure experience from that and a lot of knowledge that many, many other people don't have. And I wish other people would go and see that and start going to do that. And especially with the fire, and also with the fire department program, they is an amazing class. They have amazing teachers. Everybody in there is, like, it's like friends with each other, you know. And if you want to do it, just go. They will, even I have some problems learning some things, and they're very patient with me, and they help me through these things. So they won't be judging you if you don't know exactly what you're doing, if you just go out and ask and, you know.
Anything else you want to say about, you know, your experience going to Laytonville High School or graduating in your future, or any advice you'd want to tell any incoming freshmen? Or
that's kind of a hard one. It's hard because I am in independent study, and it was because I slightly disagreed with our school.
Okay,
so
that's all right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. I can't say anything about the school. I don't really know. But if you want to go into the fire department, just go, you know, just do it.
Right on. Very good. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so.
Very cool. Thank you, Sage.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of You Speaks Out. I have been your host, Jama Shield Spence. For more information about the Laytonville Fire Department's Community Classroom Program, give a call to Laytonville High School at 707-984-6108. To reach me at Laytonville Healthy Start, please call 707-984-8089 or email me jama@laytonville.org. That's jayma@laytonville.org. Be safe, be well, and be prepared for wildfire season.